What's up? It's your boy KFC, and this is another edition of the Podfathers brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Now, listen, I know better than anybody out there that when you become a dad, it's easy to get lazy. It's easy to let yourself go. You walk around town looking like a monster, looking like a slob. Dollar Shave Club is here to help that stop, to help stop that from happening. They're going to deliver razors directly to your door so you don't have to spend any time at the store. You don't have to waste any extra money that can be going to diapers or daycare or food. And you're going to get the freshest, highest quality shave possible. That way you don't walk around looking like a slob. You look presentable. You look like a grown man. On top of the razors, they've got lotions. They've got hair products. They've got chapstick. They've got everything you need to look like you're still trying, to look like you haven't given up on life, even though really deep down in your heart, you kind of have. Your kids have beaten you down. Your job's beaten you down. You've given up. But Dollar Shave Club is going to make it as easy as possible to make it, you know, make it able, you can trick people into thinking otherwise. Right now, use the promo code PODFATHERS, and you're going to get a month trial of razors for just $1 and free shipping. After that, you can sign up for just a few bucks a month, delivered monthly, bi-monthly, whatever you want. No long-term commitments, no hidden fees, and you can cancel whenever you want. Get your $1 trial right now at dollarshaveclub.com/podfathers. That's dollarshaveclub.com/podfathers. Here we go.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
All right, welcome to the Podfathers. Now, you've been listening to me, Chaps, and Clem talk about our families and our babies and our situation, life situations for months on months now. I figured it's time that we get some guests in here. We hear about some other kids, some other fathers going through this whole process. So today we have Mark Roberge on the show, best known from OAR, of a Revolution, also secondarily known for his blockbuster video that was put out on Barstool Sports not too long ago with Nate at Night. I have to ask you, what do you think was a bigger moment in your career, like being the front man for OAR or doing the video with Nate?
Does groundbreaking describe it?
That does.
I don't think anybody's ever worked a candle like Nate worked a candle.
I like that. That was good. It took me like 30. So I just stared at him. I couldn't speak. I didn't know what was going on. I'm just looking at Nate like, is he serious? No, he's kidding. No, he's serious.
That's the beauty of Nate. You're always towing the line of like, is he doing this on purpose?
Right.
It's kind of like, and it's all genuine.
Steve Colbert is on Comedy Central. You're like, is that his actual character?
Right.
Is this who he is at
this point? That's when you blow up. That's when people don't know. You keep him on their toes.
Man on the moon type
shit. That's Nate at Night.
Ah, I like it.
So,
well, thank you for having me.
Of course, man. So you give us your family situation.
Before we get into it, I need to.
Oh, you want to tell the story now?
I don't want to make it uncomfortable in here. I've had a lot of sex to your music.
Yes. Yes.
So one of my first dates with my wife was to one of your concerts in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Well, I was in D.C. I was living in Fredericksburg, Virginia, but it was in D.C.
Dude, that's awesome.
Got rain. There was a lot of rain that day, but the sangrias were still flowing. You guys were still killing it, so it was awesome.
So is that where the mud was?
Yeah.
Man. I remember that because backstage we were swimming in it, man. Yeah. It was crazy. And the sex part, That's like why half the reason we make music, you know, so somebody's going to get laid.
Yeah, I don't think I've had much sex to your music. I have gotten,
I've had about a billion beers
and smoked a billion joints to your music.
And
so
that's the other half.
I was going to say the other 50% right there.
Right, exactly. No, and that's no
sometimes
joke.
Both.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the holy
sometimes
trinity right there.
Yeah.
Booze, drugs, and OAR.
Yeah, like we can't, absolutely, we captured it. We came up.
You've never had sex to your own music?
No.
I guess that would be weird.
I've
never thought about it. I don't even like to listen back to my own podcast, let alone
maybe I'll start having sex to our podcast.
Perform to them.
And now on ZB3.
If I was Maxwell, I would.
I was going to say, I don't think that's applicable for everybody, every music entertainer. I feel like there are definitely, like Kanye definitely wants to put on his own music and have sex to it.
The Weeknd is definitely having sex to
right.
his own music.
Yes, I so think it's just no choice. It's the only thing on anywhere, you know.
That's true.
Sex, it is going down. I'll tell you what, man, we came up going to concerts, like Dave Matthews Band concerts, right? And you're out there in the minivan, you know, the parents' minivan doing the drugs, having fun, drinking, and going to the show. And we're like, one day we want to be the band that people go to, drink, right? And now we're driving the minivans. And
fucking
kids are stealing them to come to the shows. It's been great, so we're enjoying it, man.
I mean, you guys are still out there, though. It's like, you're doing both now, which is what I think is the most interesting part. You've got the dad life and the still continued rock star life.
Yeah, we're really, I guess, you know, just trying hard to live it, man. Just enjoy what we're doing. We always feel like we look around us and there's sometimes bands and musicians who take it so seriously. They're not enjoying the fact that you get to go play music. You know, we get it. I'm like, I get to go play music. So when I'm with the kids and the family, it doesn't feel like I got to go to work and everyone's bummed out. Well, of course we're going to miss each other, but they know I'm having so much fun mm-hmm. and enjoying it that it's like, cool, dad's actually making it count.
Right.
Because if you're going out there and just bitching and moaning the whole time, like, what are you doing? What's the point? You
know? So I want to dive a lot into that because yeah. I do think there is a level of you have to pick, in some cases, one or the other. Back to the musicians who take it too seriously.
Yeah.
My thing, and I ask this to like reality TV stars, actors, whatever, if you've had like an iconic role or a big hit or a big album, I feel like so many people often resent that. Like they hate being typecast or they don't want to be defined as that. If I were you, I would like playing Love and Memories. I would like playing Crazy Game of Poker. Like, that shit made you rich and made you famous. Yes. You should embrace that.
Like, the reason why when Lynyrd Skynyrd goes places, people are like, Freebird!
Yeah, that's what they awesome. Want to hear. Yeah. And, like, I can understand, you know, you repeat it and you do it over and over, but
I
it's
can't.
You. So you just like every
that
single time.
That drives me nuts. I mean, look, maybe it's the way my dad raised me or whatever, but I have zero patience for that. Like, it actually frustrates me. If I hear, you know, a famous singer or something talking about how they hate their early albums. It's like, you know, it is what it is, God. Right?
Yeah.
It's your shit.
Be proud of everything
of
you put out.
Even the worst of the musically, you know,
right.
Who cares? Like, we love it. And to say the hit songs, to play those, we're having more fun than anybody.
Dude, I was going to say, if I can see the other side of it where it's like, I want to play some new material or some like artsy shit. But the crowd is live for
Dude,
your big hits. Like, that's when it's the most fun.
The best concert I've ever been to was Garth Brooks.
Really?
Yeah. So Garth Brooks comes out. San Antonio, he's back on tour for the first time in like 15 years. Mm-hmm. And he comes out on stage wearing his big cowboy hat, has his huge, I mean, it's a Garth Brooks production, you know?
Right.
It's legit. So he's like, we got a new album coming out, but I know nobody in here wants to hear that. We're
yeah,
only
man.
Playing the hits. And then he
Play
starts
the
playing
crowd.
Thunder Rolls, and everybody's
yeah.
like, whoa!
Yeah, dude. I mean, it drives me crazy. And it's interesting that you say, maybe it's the way your father raised you. Like, what, as we tie this back into parenting, like, what did he instill in you to kind of never turn your nose up at these people or these moments in your life?
Well, look, my dad was very simple in his direction. It would be, you know, go to work and earn it, right? So every single thing we did, ever since we were 12, it would be, you better have a job.
Mm-hmm.
At all times, from 12 on. And that was it. I mean, it was super
simple.
Where'd
you grow up?
Rockville, Maryland.
Okay.
So, you know, you're not talking about, you're not working construction, but you're working at the golf course, or you're working at the water store. Wherever you're working, you better be working. And I think that just instills it in you without him having to repeat anything. He was about showing, not telling, right? So he would go to work every day, and he'd come home. And he would be a good dad, and that was it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He never really
Absolutely.
Told me what to do. He would just show me what to do. And I think that that is why I appreciate having a job that doesn't feel so much like work.
Well, so was there a period of time where you're like, Dad, I'm going to do this like music thing, and he was kind of like, that's not a real job?
Oh, hell no. Dude, my brother sitting out there right now managed us for about the first 10 years.
Oh,
right?
Shit. When you said, that's my brother, you literally meant like my brother?
Yeah, like
oh,
my
brother.
Oh, I
thought
brother.
You meant like
yeah.
that's my brother.
Yeah, so he took it from the basement all the way to the garden. Right?
Okay.
So,
but so I'm saying that
wow.
at
so
some point,
him
that's
into the
story.
Fantastic line,
right.
though.
Yeah,
so
from the basement
story.
To the garden is,
that's
put that on your book, put that on your
awesome.
Headstone, man.
Yeah, right? It was crazy. But we're sitting at the Thanksgiving table just like this, and it's me and my brother, and then my mom and dad and all their friends. And I think that that's the perfect time to say, I'm dropping out of college, I'm getting in a bus, and he's going to manage the whole thing, and it's his decision.
Blame
you know
him,
what I'm
yeah.
saying, right? And that's exactly how it went down. My mom, who is a teacher for the last 35 years, I mean, she was pretty upset.
Well, yeah, I can
but
imagine.
My dad, man.
Supportive?
Totally into it. He gave us free law advice in the beginning, you know? Started our company for us, basically.
That's awesome.
I on a much smaller level, but I... to compare it to what we do. When I jumped out of, I was an accountant first, and I jumped yeah. out of that job, and my dad was like, they sound very similar, like, you know, do your job, make your money, support your family, go back to work and do it all again.
Yep.
And he was like, hell yeah, man. He's like, this sucks what I do. Like, I don't want you to live this life. Go do something else. My mom was freaking out. Both supportive, though, which I think is, you know, there's a fine line when you're parenting between, like, supporting and enabling or, like, allowing bad things, bad ideas to go down, but also not, like, stifling. It's, I'm very scared to go down that road. So my kid is, my kid's just turned one. I have another one coming in July.
Yeah, buddy.
So I'm in it, but I mean, not even coming close to thinking about that kind of stuff yet. I'm still just eye deep in diapers. I worry more about, you know, when you first have the kid, everyone's like, you're not going to sleep and the diapers and this and that. That I can just do. That's just very like, it sucks, but it's like, do it, fix it, done. I'm so much more worried about like that kind of stuff where it's like, you got to tell your kid, all right, go out and pursue your dreams, but like, don't be an idiot at the same time. That to me is the scary part of parenting.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting close to that point a little bit because this week my daughter was like talking about what colleges she wanted to get into. But it's awesome because it gives you, she's like, I think I want to go to Harvard. And then she's like, filling out her little seventh grade application. She's like, I don't think I want to do advanced math this week. I was like, somebody wants to go to Harvard. But you want to skip out on seventh grade of that good math? Like,
yeah, those don't jive.
Yeah, you
so
know,
wait, what? How old are your kids?
Well, so right now I have a 7-year-old boy, a 4-year-old girl, and then another girl on the way any minute. So
God bless you.
I'm starting
wait,
to
that's
see.
All girl? Did you say?
Boy, girl, girl. Okay. Right, yeah. So the boy is really heavily into sports, and that's super fun because I can just goof around with that guy. And a lot of it at that age, like you know, man, with you have an 11-year-old, right? I'm almost at the point where they're watching you at all times. Mm-hmm. So you're leading by example even when you're making breakfast.
That scares me too, by the way. It's like, can I be off the clock? No, there's no off the clock.
No, then they want to know where'd you go and spend your off the clock
time. Right,
you
know right, I mean? Right, and right.
Why can't you walk straight? You know, right? Like, and that's the thing. My kids, they come to my work. They sit on the side of the stage, you know, and they see us out there partying, drinking, singing songs. So it's like I have to show them that it's okay to have fun. It's okay to enjoy life, but you got to work hard. So that's really my challenge. That's where I'm at right now is the show.
Well, when you have a fun job, again, not to compare because we're on a much different level, but people think that what we do is so fun, and it is better than shitty jobs, but it's hard. And I can't imagine to go from the basement to the garden is easy. So it's like, yes, right now you see dad out there jamming and drinking a beer in front of an arena, but it wasn't always like this. It took a long way to get there. So you got to like remind them and teach them that that's the case.
Are your kids at the point now? I imagine your oldest one's probably getting close where they no longer think you're cool. Because there's like that transition phase where everything that you do is cool. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, eh. Like, my daughter's at that phase. Like,
also, in his defense, like, he's Mark from OAR. Cool, so, like, that's a different
when
story.
When everybody's like, woo!
Like when it's you know, what does your dad do at work day? He's probably pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
He's the comment section, there, everybody clapping at his concerts, and mine would be like, Chaz is a douche.
Yeah. That guy sucks.
A little different.
Shit, I thought I was cool as hell. I went into my kid's pre-K, you know, one of these classes. I don't know what age, but if they call it something. They're all three. I come in, I get my guitar. I'm like, hey, kids, what's up? You know, I'm Mila's daddy, and I'm just going to play this jam. You know, and I'm like, I start singing, and they are just, they don't care. They don't care. They're looking
like, where's the firefighter?
The guy who comes in after me works at a bank. He comes in and says, hi, kids, I count money. They,
ding, ding, ding,
boom.
Ding.
And I'm the biggest piece of shit in the room. And it was a big, it put me right
and
in my
place. And the banker's probably like, fuck
money.
You, Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about time. Yeah. Yeah.
I knew this day would come.
And we got mad lollipops at the bank, bitch.
Man.
Don't cry, boy.
I'll tell you what, that might be a sorry, you know, the next generation. We might be in trouble. That's not a good look.
That's it, right? I mean, if you came in and said, like, I make cell phones, I make iPads. I mean, like, the kids, like, right now, and you'll know, even a 1-year-old, it's tech.
Oh, dude. I mean, I already feel like a piece of shit because she wants the cell phone. She already kind of knows how to, like, enlarge and, like, on a touch screen. I'm like, that means I'm on my phone all the time.
You know how they have.
We all are, right?
We always establish, like, they're a millennial or whatever. I feel like that's not appropriate. I feel like the appropriate age separation now is parents who don't think technology is good and parents who will let your kid have an iPad at a restaurant.
Right. Because
I am in the bottom half. So if that makes me a millennial, then so be it.
Sign me the fuck up for that. Here, I just got back from Disneyland. And
we
it was
have
like,
a little folder on our iPad with like 80 games that just say McCartney's games for dinner.
I just played Lion King on repeat.
That's just kid. You know, I mean, there's stuff ready and you know, I'm looking there. Look, I see the kid in there. I understand, you know, if I limit it, make it reasonable.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
It's not
Nobody
raising my kid.
Nobody wants to hear your kid right. screaming and moaning in a restaurant. I don't care how good of a parent you are.
And especially me. Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
Fuck the other people. It's just about me.
Just
you're
shut
bothering
the
me.
Fuck up and let me eat my
it's so hard to hear when I have,
pizza.
When I have my headphones on, I can't hear shit. Yeah. So I just keep them in. Yeah. Listen to my, you know, I'm like listening to Stern. I got busted the other day. I'm driving them back to Maryland, just, you know, cruising. I got the kids in the back. I got the dogs, my amazing wife who's sitting to my right. And I'm like, I wired this headphone
yes.
up my shirt.
You got the right ear,
the
left
the back,
ear going.
Right.
Oh,
and
wow.
it's hooked up. And I'm just like listening to Stern, which is, you know, just that's what I do. And they're all going. And she looks at me. She goes, do you fucking really think? I don't know. This is like after 3 hours. I mean, but this is it, right? We got to marry it together, right? I'm with you. I'm in that bottom half. I'm a parent who understands the benefits of this tech when controlled, right? Just like we're doing sitting in this awesome building right now. I think like this is a good usage of that tech, and it gets to where you want to be. I mean, look, we're all trying to do the same thing, raise good kids.
Right.
You know? We're not going to fuck it
different
up.
Different paths.
And if you're
there,
a happy dude, like if you have even a moment of serendipity, like you're fine. Like we just traded in our minivan. There's only one stipulation of us trading in our minivan for something that wasn't also a minivan. That fucker better have a TV in
set.
It.
Yeah.
If you're a parent with a kid under 5 and you buy a new car without a DVD player in it,
You're an idiot.
You're dumb. Just an idiot.
Oh. It's just bad. That's bad parenting. You
that
got
is
to.
Bad parenting.
You have
it's,
to.
It's gonna torture that child.
Right.
And you.
And you. And that I always say this to my wife too, is like you being less stressed and happy and a little more relaxed is gonna go a lot further than, you know, we weren't allowed to give her this or let her have that or whatever it may be.
I'm much less likely to go 70 into a light pole. If McCartney is
screaming and yelling,
watching Finding Dory in the
right,
back.
Right, like, right.
I just want to drive to the movie theater, man. Just shut the fuck up for half a minute. Yeah.
It's so true.
So true. I know I only rent cars. I haven't owned a car in like 5 years living in the city, but renting them, I have finally got the hookup, someone who I can trust in the place to give me the car with the TV. Because if I drive to Maryland one more time without a TV and listen to that, that's where the iPad comes in.
Yeah, man.
Here
you go.
iPad's not charged. Then what? We had that situation the other
You're
day.
Fucked. Yeah, and then you cancel the trip. Then you turn the fuck around.
There's two phrases that really get me going, like snakes. Like if somebody says snake, like, and I think there's one behind me, and the iPad's dead. Like those are two things that really make me scared.
So you said you got 7, 4, and 1 on the way.
One on the way.
Now, I am trying to not be you.
Yes.
I think you're fucking crazy.
Good luck.
Because you have... Certainly with the 7-year-old, like, you went through it.
Yes.
And then the 4-year-old came, like, not long thereafter, but the 4-year-old.
She.
So, you know, you're coming out of the diapers phase. You're coming out of the toddler phase and all that shit, and then you just start the clock again.
Yeah, the dark ages.
Isn't that crazy?
That first year.
I mean, the flip side is me. I got one. They'll be 18 months apart, which is going to be hell on earth.
It'll pay off in the end.
Theoretically, we'll be done, and then it'll just be that. So it's just like we said to ourselves, it's going to be a shitty several years. So let's just compact it in and make it really shitty, whereas you are just stringing out the shittiness.
Well, look, I feel like this. Right now, you have all these plans.
Yeah, they're going to go all out the fucking window.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So everybody has a plan until they get hit.
You got a big old plan. Yep. Oh, we're just going to have 2.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And then you have 3.
Right. Well, so I had a girl. I'm having a boy now. And
man.
So that was initially like, all right, now we got one of each. We can be done.
Yeah.
Immediately after finding out it was a boy, now Shay's not going to have a sister. I always wanted a sister. I'm like, here we go.
There it goes.
And then we're going to be upset that he doesn't have a brother. And then we're going to be upset. I'm going to have 6 of these motherfuckers running around.
Yeah, it really happens because they grow up. Those 2, right? I had the same thing, right? So 2, they were babies. And then they kind of grew up and you're like, oh, I missed the baby.
And you forget.
The second you're sitting in your room and your wife walks in and goes, don't you just kind of like miss the baby part of it? You're like, boom,
you're screwed. Yep.
No,
yep.
You're just having a baby.
Yeah.
You might just be pregnant.
What if I told you that they could obliterate your vas deferens?
Yeah, then so Chaps is a big fan of vasectomies.
I'm a big vasectomy guy.
So that's more of a plan that he put into action.
The technical terms.
Yeah, man. As soon as the second one was done, I told my wife, if this one shits in the potty once, I am calling and getting a vasectomy.
Wouldn't it be great if you had the bed next to her at the hospital? Like,
oh, I would have done
They're
it.
Like, great job, honey. You did great. Excuse me for 5 minutes.
Snip,
They're
snip.
Like, you breathe in and out, hurt, sir. You hold your breath for just a second.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would have been a bigger bitch because I would have been like, the recovery's longer for me. Like, this
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good
I
luck with that one, bud.
Cold, man. I mean, honestly, I sit at, if I get the slightest allergy, I'm 3 days.
I know, and I'm complaining, and I'm a bitch about
yeah,
it.
I'm a big yeah, bitch. Oh, I'm a big bitch. I'm a big bitch.
Big bitches
but
over here.
I'm the kind that doesn't, like, believe that I'm complaining, right? So
yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
so fucking tough.
Right,
I haven't said
absolutely.
Shit.
Yes.
And in her mind, I'm literally, like, a child.
Have you seen?
And you're like, I'm not going to say anything, but my head is fucking ridiculous
no,
right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even going to mention
like,
it.
Like, I know you're pregnant and I know that's tough, but it's like sweating and I don't know why.
And my dogs are barking. Like, I've been walking all day.
Have you seen the commercial? It's a Campbell's soup commercial. There's a dude laying on the couch and he's like, you know, honey, when I used to get sick, my mom would make me chicken soup, and the wife walks out, and she's like in a power suit, grabs the car keys, and she throws a can of soup at him, and she's like, or she throws the phone at him, and she's like, then call your mother. She bursts out the door to go to work. That commercial comes on, and my wife just kind of goes like,
oh,
like
yeah.
this little fucking
God.
Chuckle, and I was like, oh, is something funny? And she's like, yeah, something is funny. As like mom walks out the door to like work her corporate job, and like the blogger sitting at home complaining about being sick. It's funny. I was like, yeah. You bitch. We were sitting there screaming and fighting over a Campbell's soup commercial, but I deep down was like,
right.
You right.
No, I'm definitely. I mean, I'm like the poster child for that. You know what I mean? And I try to, like after 3 days, I'd be like, yeah, I'm just not feeling good. She'd be like, yeah, I know. Like,
you won't shut up about
no.
it.
No.
You've been talking about it for 72
yeah.
hours.
Fuck, so when you get over that?
When you come home, like when you come home from like a big trip, you have yeah. your tour, she throw you right back into the diaper rotation?
We have a great deal. My wife, I've known since we were kids, right? Like 15, you know, so her and I have always just been cool. We've been friends, you know, and that's the best thing that our agreement is. I handle stuff basically when I'm home and when I'm not. I can't do shit. I can't help, so I don't pretend that I do anything. She handles everything. And then it's just it's understood. So I have no problem. There's no assignment. I just love being involved, right?
Yeah,
so
that's great.
She's super cool, whether if I need some rest or whatever. So she's always been incredibly supportive. But
that's awesome because I come home and it's like, and take this thing away. And
oh, well, yeah, but I do it because I want to.
You want
you know?
To, yeah. I mean, you're excited to see them. Yeah,
yeah. She's got it all
yeah,
the time.
Kevin, Jesus.
This is the role I play. Here's how this show works. Here's how I play. You guys say whatever you want, and then I'll tell the truth, okay? You guys can talk in fucking pleasantries about your amazing wives, and then I will tell you the
exactly.
fucking truth.
Anyway, so I was reading some word about women's history.
Exactly.
He's like, what's
and
your
you
favorite
know,
sports
feminism
team?
Is
I'm
so
like,
great.
I'm like, my wife, what did you
I just root
mom?
For my wife
yeah.
every day.
Whatever she's into.
and that,
love
you know,
kale.
Exactly.
Fucking love it.
I guess
so
part of that, though, is also going out on the road. Like, so even if you have some agreement, when you go out for like an extended period of
yes.
time, again, in my situation, we went to Houston for 2 weeks for the Super Bowl.
Right.
It was like a fucking catastrophe. Like, it was like World War III being like, you're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
And then when I came home, it was like, here you go. I'm in the doghouse, the whole nine. I mean, when you're out on tour, you're out for significantly longer than
yeah.
weeks at a time. Still cool. She's just like, you got to go do what you got to do.
Look, I think what it is, you're not only on tour, but like every night there's a party.
Yeah.
Every night you're on the phone going, huh? What?
I can't hear you.
Hold
oh,
on.
God,
and
I'd be
people
fucking
are giggling.
Dead.
And,
I would be dead.
Oh,
I could never be a rock star.
It's
she would kill me.
It's not what you're saying on the phone. It's what whoever behind you is saying in the room.
Fuck.
Right?
I'm terrified.
Hey,
right
Mark,
now.
Look at this girl's tits over there.
Yeah.
You want to hit this funnel, dude?
Like, hold on. I can't hear you. And that's what it was forever, man. And that's. It sucks.
But expectations.
Yeah. So when you come home, you do pay for a lot of that shit. And yeah, it's a day or two, but it's fucking, you know, little shit.
But expectations have got to play. Like, your wife doesn't think that a blogger's going to go place for 2
right.
weeks. Where if you're married to
you know
a
what
rock
you're getting
star,
into. Yeah.
You're like, that's
And
that's
it also
part of
helps
it.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
military-wise, like going 7-8 months, like it's part of the game. Like, that's where you're going.
Does it make it better or worse that you knew her from the beginning?
Much better, a million times.
The other, I can see the other side, though, where it's like, if you signed up to marry you right now, you'd be like, I know that he's going to be on tour. Just when you're 15
yeah.
years old, your high school sweetheart, you're building up OAR, it may be like, well, he's in a band and he's never going to be leaving for months at a time.
Oh, of course, she had to have thought, be like, these guys are not doing shit.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then she's like, oh,
we're
all right.
Be fine.
I'll see you in the fall, dude.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Go to Costco and apply for that management. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're staying home. You know?
Right.
Shout out to Costco.
Costco's great.
Shouts. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a local place. I used to work there. It's all good. But I'll tell you what. Yeah, it's just kind of like an understanding. And it's better that we've known each other this long because she knows all my shit. And that's pretty much it. So I kind of lucked out in that department.
It's funny that you say, too, you come back and it's a couple days of shit. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, so Mike Vrabel of the Patriots described it to me. He calls it going into the Viper pit. Like when you know you're coming home and you've been away and it's a problem, I'm going into the Viper pit. And we all do it, and you all just like you take a little beating for a day or two, and then you like dig your way out of the hole. I describe it as when you're playing NBA Jam and you have turbo. And then when you run out of turbo, like I've built up, I had a lot of slack, and I've said so many dumb things, and now I'm on the road, and now I'm down to zero turbo, and I'm just moving in sand. And then you fall back a little bit.
Yeah.
You build that turbo back up, so you can just diminish it again. It's just constantly up and down.
What we need to develop is like a push notification, like 5 weeks before you're going away, maybe 6 weeks when you're not even thinking about that trip, and it's like, do something nice.
Be nice. Get
and
her
then
flowers.
Like 4 days later, it's like, do something nice again. 5 days, don't say that dumbass shit that you were thinking about saying. You know what I'm saying?
I need that so bad. I just need ones.
When you go away, you're already good to go. But if it's like you're leaving Thursday and on Wednesday, you're like, uh-oh, I got to do something. You're fucked.
And then once you're away, once you're away, you need another app that sends you a notification to text your wife. Text me to text my wife. Text me, call your wife. Let her know where you are. Let her know what's going on. Let her know you love her. Because I'll just be like, oh, it's been like 36 hours since I've made any contact.
Yeah. See, for me, my wife knows when I'm here that I'm probably not going to call at night.
Yeah, but I don't call much. We don't really talk on the phone. Like, but
anybody in the world talk
Yeah,
about.
If you try to call me.
I have like night tremors about missing the phone call in the morning of my daughter.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The FaceTime when she's on her way to school.
You're dead.
And even though like I'm working here till 11, 12 o'clock at night doing stuff, if I miss the 6 a.m. call that she's on her way to school, I'm screwed. And I know.
Absolutely.
And my wife probably wouldn't care, but she has me trained so well that I'm terrified of missing phone calls.
Oh, absolutely. Do you set an alarm?
Oh, dude, come on.
Yeah,
I got to.
So when you're hitting the 15 before and
the
30 before.
And
when the first one goes off, I'm just like, I'm gonna miss it.
Ring, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm a good dad. Watch this shit.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, everybody, doesn't matter. You'd be military, music, blog, or whatever, they've got you trained. It doesn't matter. On some level, you're whipped. It is what it is. I say if you're not whipped, you don't really have like a marriage or a relationship.
Or you're just not ready for that.
Yeah.
Yet, you know
what
I mean? And that's totally cool, too. You better be ready.
Now, this is something I've always wanted to ask somebody who's a successful magician. Whenever your song, like when Love and Memories, it was on the radio like every three songs during that summer. I think it was like 2009-ish.
Something, I don't know.
And it was like you could switch the station and be like
to the same point in the same song.
Crazy.
Your wife, I had to drive your wife even more crazy, right?
I'm so sick of this goddamn song.
Because she hears your voice when she's talking to you all the time, and then she might want to get like a different voice in the radio.
Guys can understand this one. What makes her crazy is I record in the house a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'll make a lot of the songs you might hear in a movie or in the radio or something. Like I'm like recording them in my house. But she's not hearing what is in my headphones. All she's hearing is me doing harmonies and like the weirdest, awful performances over and over. And all she hears is just, like 50, 60 times, right? Over and over. And that must drive her nuts. I know
crazy.
Sometimes I just hear this.
Enough. Fight the fuck down.
I need a minute.
Just a minute.
Just turn
minute.
Your voice off for one minute.
I don't blame her for a second. Some girl, came up to her the other night. We're at this gig. We're just hanging in the back. And she comes and she goes, don't you just love, does he ever just like sing songs to you? And
she want to rip her face off?
I looked at her. She looked at me like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like at home singing her love songs. It's not like that.
No, dude, it's so far from that, I would imagine. Like, my wife would, she would laugh in that girl's face and be like, I'm going to kill you if you ever think of that. So what goes on.
Because that's what, your wife is supposed to be like your buddy too, right? So you can just joan on people like, or just goof on whoever. And that's what it's all about.
And the one that keeps you humble. I'll write something that I think is hilarious. Like, I'll be like, this is a good one. And I'll show it to my wife, like, when she's laying in bed beside me that night. I'm like, did you see this? And she's like, I don't ever read your fucking work.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll hand it to her. And she'll go through the whole thing and not even smirk and be like, yeah, baby, that was funny.
Ouch.
I'm just like, son of a bitch.
It will keep you grounded, man. Everybody needs, every good man has a good woman behind him, right?
All the songwriters say, like, the guys I work with, we have the wife test. I mean, because they're going to be honest with you, right? So you write this song and you're like, babe, I think this is the one. You got to check this song out. And you email it to her, and if she hates, like, they're going to tell you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the wife
test.
I mean, I'm like you. Yeah. Same thing in music. Because it's really the only person who's going to, you know,
shoot you straight. Yeah. They'll tear you right down if they need to.
Like zero.
Yeah.
If that was the case.
I would have never put a blog out. I would have never put a song out. I would never put a podcast out. Nothing.
I don't think I would have used that test.
The wife test needs to be like, was she physically repulsed by it?
Yeah,
no?
Right.
Then we're good to go. Green light.
Did you get up and never do wife test?
So you got a boy and a girl. We had all girls up until this latest announcement. I have a boy coming in July.
Yeah.
So we've been kind of talking about the difference between guys and girls this past couple episodes. And I said this, and there was a little bit of blowback from listeners. I think as a father, there's more pressure to raise your son. I think there's more social pressures that I have to worry about for my son than my daughter. And I totally understand that, like, when a girl's growing up, she's going through catty girls and body issues and all that shit, and it's terrible. But I didn't do that, so I don't feel necessarily responsible for it. I'm going to do whatever I can to help and support. Mm-hmm. But when a boy turns to me and is like, I'm not confident to talk to this girl, or I got cut from the team, or things that I personally went through, I'm so much more afraid of that than I am afraid of my daughter going through, like, her adolescent years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any feeling between son and daughter?
I gotta say, there's something there, because I feel a responsibility for the boy. Maybe because I met him first, and I feel like a responsibility.
You sound like you met him at a bar.
Right, right, yeah.
He pulled up in the Uber by me.
Yeah, hey, Pop, what's up? You know, that does happen, but not to me. He carries, some weight there. There's a responsibility. Maybe it's us projecting on them
all the things that
we didn't do or get, or, you know.
Right. I mean, I've always said there's a million things in my life where it's like, if I could go back, I would do X, Y, Z. This is kind of that,
right?
that chance, you know what I mean?
It is.
Where, I could see if the argument was that you're more likely to relive through your son rather than your daughter, I could see that is the argument. Mistakes that you made personally, you want to correct those in your son, like things that you might have messed up or you wish you could go back and do again. But daddy issues is a phrase.
For a reason, yeah.
For a reason.
Yeah. No, definitely.
There is no equivalent. There is no equivalent for male.
Well, you know what?
Issues.
It probably
yeah.
it
you don't
probably,
look at a dude and be like, he's got daddy issues. You look at the girl and say he's got daddy issues.
Yeah, but you know what? Issues. I think a lot of dudes do have daddy issues. It's just not a phrase.
Sure, but that would indicate that because it's a phrase, that there's more social stigma of a girl who ends up
stigma. Yes, but I don't think that means less or more. I think that it's just that guys are less likely to put a phrase
a son,
on it or admit to it.
I think I would feel the same pressure to raise both well, and I don't think that.
I think it's different.
I don't think so.
I don't want to say that I'm, like, not trying to raise my daughter.
No, I don't think that's
what
you're
saying. But I do think that there's a different being of the same gender. I think there's extra.
And just in my experience, like, just with training people, both guys and girls, like, training young people, I've never looked at a dude who is weaker, like a weaker Marine, and thought, that fucker's got daddy's issues. Certain behavior that a female has had that I've trained, I've been like, something was
that's
going
a typical dad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I learned, I think, from an uncle of mine who was really just a young dad, mm-hmm. and I watched him succeed in a way that was very impressive, you know? And so I said, hey, what's your parenting advice? He said, look, it's a lot of these things are easy. They're cliche for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Because they work. But one is, whatever they're into, be into. I mean, if the kid is into Lego, whatever they're into, be into. And it kind of took away a lot of that projection, a lot of that, well, you got to be ready to do contact football. But mom's not saying you can do it, but I'm because I did it. A lot of that stuff kind of goes away when I change direction of, like, I'll follow you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying that the kid knows better than the parent and they don't need parenting. It's just kind of like, who's going to set the tone here? And every time I get crazy and I start to like micromanage these kids, I think of that. I'm like, okay, wait, from their point of view, what are they? And that's kind of evened it out. But I mean, I think there's something there to what you're saying. And I would assume it's us just dealing with ourselves.
100%.
I mean, it's got to be, right? Yeah. It's not up to them. But with my daughter, I again saw someone else do this thing every night with them, telling them, you know, I believe in you, you're smart, and anything but you're pretty.
Right.
Add you're pretty in there, but, you know.
Not the focus.
Right. And I think that's really helped.
That's something that we do. Like, that's.
Really?
Like,
oh, that's cool.
With McCartney and my older daughter, like, I try to avoid complimenting
physical. Yeah.
Like, just their mental aspects and, like, wow, you did really
funny,
great
you're smart,
like,
you're
you
beautiful.
You should be a scientist, like, and don't. And I do tell them they're pretty, too, because that's also important. And to say that it's not to build that social confidence,
you might fuck them up.
Liar.
Yeah. You might fuck them up.
Because
totally.
if like, oh, my God, my dad thinks I'm an ugly bitch.
Like, Daddy doesn't say I'm pretty.
But I feel like it should be like a 5-1, like you're complimenting them on their character.
See, isn't this
their
where, like, isn't this the fucking crux of it all, though? It's like, you're trying so hard
that's
not to have daddy
thing.
Issues.
That's the
what
thing.
Ratio should I do of this compliment to that compliment?
Lord,
it's like maybe that's what the daddy issues comes from. Where I'm overthinking. I don't know. You know
but
what I mean?
What you just said is the most important part. The fucking trying aspect.
Yeah,
I feel like no matter what you do, like your kids can tell that you're trying.
Right.
Like
they
I
might
fuck
be like,
a lot
yo,
of shit
he's
up.
An idiot.
Like I drink too much whiskey. I cuss too much. And I'm a loud motherfucker. And I write stupid shit on the internet.
Yeah.
But my kids know that I love them.
Yeah.
And I think that as long as we're doing that and we're really fucking trying, you're beating a hell of a lot of dads from past years.
I mean, yeah, I also am a big fan of that, comparing myself to other fathers.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's a lot of scumbags out there.
I'm like,
oh,
you're
a huge
garbage guy.
Oh, listen, and it's mostly when I fuck up, like I'm like, yeah, but I'm not that bad.
Yeah, 1,000%, man.
That dude's bad.
Yo,
and that's something that you got to point out to your wife, too. Like, under the radar point out, like, fucking, how about that motherfucker?
How about that dude is cheating and, like, leaving the kids?
You see
and
that
like,
kid? Do you see that fucking dad grab his kid up in the grocery store and threaten to spank him? That's unbelievable.
Well, I saw, you know, the other day I'm walking and that happened, but it was an overboard situation.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what
wow,
do I do?
What do I do? If it's 1988, I just keep walking. Who gives a shit? You know, but it's now. So I'm like, am I allowed to approach? No.
No, you can't.
Do I say no?
Because what
do
if
you
it
shake
goes...
your head? No, you might get shot. Yeah. You know, like you just walk. What do you do?
Yeah, and especially somebody like you that's recognizable, and that's the type of shit that could go viral. Like, there goes Mark
Rober.
Not giving a fuck. He made eye contact with the guy. He just doesn't give a shit.
Yo, I have a pretty steadfast rule. Like, don't ever get involved in other people's shit. But when you see, like, a kid in a situation that's overboard, that's when you're kind of like,
yeah,
if there's ever a time,
yeah, there
it would be now.
Do you remember the viral video of a guy that was, I think it was in Texas, where he like dragged his kid up and was spanking him and putting him in the back of the cart? And my wife was like, what would you do? I was like, it depends on who else was around.
Yeah. Like, look over both shoulders.
Yeah. Like if
you got backup.
Well, not just that, but if I know that there's no security in there, like that there's there's a lot more likelihood of me beating someone down.
Yeah,
if I
you know what?
That it's not gonna.
Me too, man. I would have just beat that guy's ass.
I mean,
in the park.
Totally. No camera.
If you see a dude that's ripping on a kid, I feel like you get dad strength times 10.
Yeah,
like,
I would hope at least.
Yeah.
You know, because you have that mom can move a car if the car's on top of her baby strength. I feel like you have super dad strength. You see another dude being an asshole to you, kid.
Yeah.
I feel like, if there is any type of God spirit, that it fills you up.
I would.
Just
I hope I never have to find out, but I would. I would like to think that I would get that. Yeah.
Oh, you I mean, we. Yeah. I grew up in
just
an area.
Pat yourself on the back for it. You got it.
Like, wrestling was big. Everybody, you know, played lacrosse and wrestled. And I remember a dad at every tournament, every meet, yelling from the stands. I mean, abusive. It was out and nobody. 4 years. This guy ended up running for some sort of office locally. And over and over and over. And he was a well-known. And he just kind of beat his kids down verbally, and no one ever did anything. So, I mean, to answer the question, what do you do? But clearly nobody ever steps in.
I mean, that's
why it continually just happens, I think.
I feel like that should be something that's on the coach. Like the coach of the team.
Just step
like,
in
should
and
be
like,
hey,
shut
dude,
it down.
If we, I'm the coach, not you right now. If you want to coach him at home, but don't embarrass him in public. That's
and I'm
job.
All about coaches yelling, and I can't
I
stand when they
coach.
Don't.
And I mean, by the time my
give
kids
me an
are
unabashed
doing sports,
asshole coach,
please.
Yo, oh can God. You forget? Like 20 years from now, they're not going to be able to say anything.
There will be no coaches.
There will
be
no
coach.
Yes, absolutely.
This has got to be cyclical, right? Like where you go from being an asshole to softer.
I would hope,
but I mean, probably not. I mean, if you look at the 40s, 50s, well, the 60s.
60s
got
soft.
Softer.
Oh, well, look at some of the TV shows, you know, that back in that day. They were saying some crazy stuff on TVs. It was pretty loosey-goosey.
Why?
And it tightened up.
Recently
know.
Watching Golden Girls, and that shit's electric.
yeah.
And sexual as hell. That was in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. No, and Rose.
Dude, Rose could get
like,
it.
Blanche Damn. Could fucking ride a dick, boy. Like, the way she's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's all good. I mean, I feel like guys like us are all kind of cut from the same cloth where you think it's probably a little beneficial to tell it like it is or a little bit of tough love.
I mean, there's
love,
a line.
But...
Like, there's a difference between you fucked up and you're a fuck up. Yeah. I feel like there's two totally different things. If you're screaming at me because I messed up something that I should have done correctly, I'm fine. But if I hear you or if I heard a coach directly attacking my kid or their character,
different problem.
Like calling them a fuck up or calling them a fucking idiot instead of you did this like a fucking idiot, that's fine. You're a fucking idiot.
I also think that you have to, it's a case by case. Like, is the kid responding? Some people respond to that. Some people don't. Some people shut down. Some people, it's not as clear cut, but.
Yeah. My older daughter
just afraid
would be
that
turtle shelled for like 6 months if somebody called her a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, I coached the little kids soccer, and they had coaches, but none of them would like show up every week, and it would always be like, can someone cover? I went to cover. And I just yelled at the kids the whole time, but not like in a bad way, but I was just, you know, I'm yelling
You're coaching,
at the field,
man.
I'm coaching.
You're just coaching.
I swear to God, everyone was looking at me like, and I wouldn't do it again. I felt so stupid. But
That's some viral shit. Look at Mark Robert's coaching a soccer kid like a fucking
at
asshole.
5 year olds.
Yeah. But like, you know, there's plenty of people who probably, if me and you saw him doing that, we'd be like, whatever, he's coaching.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other people.
I mean, there was a certain, I think my daughter was 5 when she was playing at the YMCA, and one of the coaches was pretty intense. Like,
I wasn't intense, but I was, you know.
Like, this guy was pretty fucking extreme. And my wife was like, do you think that's kind of overboard? I was like, I mean, they don't even know which goal is there.
I was going to say, 5-year-old girls soccer is not exactly the pinnacle of the sport.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah,
5-year-old, no matter what
it.
Test scores they have.
Right.
I wasn't sending them on laps, you know. But I was just kind of saying, you know,
Indian
hey,
run,
maybe
go.
Let's go like kick the ball, pass it. I don't know. I'm just trying to encourage them a little bit. The parents are like, don't talk to them. Okay.
When she was 9 and she was doing soccer, I told the coach. She brought home like a bad grade, so I went to the coach. I was like, hey, I want you this to be a learning opportunity for her. Like I want you to make her run laps for getting. And in conduct. It was a conduct grade. She had gotten bad conduct. And the coach was like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, just make her do like 5 laps around the field, like at the close of practice, because she got an in. And it was like really effective. Like she got into the car and she's like, coach made me run because I got an in conduct.
That's good of you, man.
Yeah, so
damn,
she was.
Good thinking.
That's good. That's good parent. You're
so
a parent
you
coach.
So you went to the coach. See, that's what you were saying earlier. Go
yeah,
to the
I think
coach,
those
kind of
things,
lead.
You can put it on the coach a little bit. But also, I've made my kids do, I mean, I think it's probably because my Marine nature, like, I tried grounding, I tried taking cell phones, I tried taking all, and I was just like, Kelsey, get your ass downstairs right now. Give me 25
push-ups. Yeah, manual
nice.
Labor, dude.
And she looked at me like, what? And my wife was even like, what the fuck? And I was like, 25 good push-ups, I'll count.
Wow.
And she was like, 1, and then her like knee stretch. I was like, nope, if you need to take a break, you could take a break, but I will get 25
good
ones. And I don't care if it's from now till bedtime, 25 good ones.
So what's your background with the Marines?
I was in the Marines for 10 years and got medically retired after I got shot. Now I'm a podcaster.
Quite the
career change.
A shot over there?
Yeah, in Fallujah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yep. I'm like so much respect for you guys,
thank
man.
You.
Thank you.
Appreciate
I went over
it.
To the to Balad and Kirkuk and to Creed, and we played songs, you know, and got to talk to everybody. And every single person I spoke to, I'd say, "Hey, thanks so much." And they go, "I'm just doing my job." Like, stop thanking me, you know. And that was kind of
and
it
I,
was what I love was that example. It's
and
that's the whole
and
thing.
And there's certain aspects about that I understand, like the sentiment of the people who do that. But I also have an eye to history, like knowing guys that came back from Vietnam would have loved to be
to hear that.
Yeah. So I feel like if somebody thanks you, you have an obligation to say, "Oh, thank you very much. Like
that's
I appreciate
cool.
that." I would never turn it away because there's been generations, the people who fought in the Chosin Reservoir and the Korean War, the people who were in Vietnam, they didn't get that opportunity. So there it is.
We can Yeah, but you're familiar with that response.
Yeah.
It was like very, very overwhelming. But I think the way we were taking it was kind of more of a positive connotation. We were kind of like, wow, that's even more respectable. And in a way that no one was saying anything but thanks, but I'm good. You know? I just thought it was cool. It's good to see that example again. And I think in parenting, having kids, again, always the example, the setting the example. And I think they listen to everything you say.
I know.
And it doesn't all have to be bullshit candy coated. And that's the other thing. I speak to my kids like they're, 14-year-old city kids.
Man.
They were born in Manhattan. Like, they know I'm going to say before I'm going to say it, right? So that's how.
And you know what? They've probably heard it from someone else before, on TV or at school or wherever. It's like, you're not the first time, so just say it. Just be real because you're going to hear it elsewhere.
Let me ask you what you think about this. This is this thing that my wife and I have recently done because our oldest one is gone. She's in middle school now. And I told her, I don't give a fuck if you cuss around your friends. Like, if I know you say it in your head because you've heard it since you were 2 weeks old, like with me in the house. Like, you're going to hear cuss words. I know you do it. If you get caught, you are fucked. If you get caught at school or by an adult, you're fucked. If you're out playing with your friends and riding a bike and you're saying, Jesus Christ, my fucking ass hurts from this bike seat. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally fine as long as they can put that all into practice.
Because that's what cussing is really all about. It's where you do it. Yeah, whenever our boss comes tomorrow night, I'm not going to be like, hey, dude.
Yes.
Hey, Peter Charon.
What the fuck's up?
Look at my fucking cock, guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about setting.
But it's kind
example,
of,
like
I think you're right.
It's kind of unspoken, though. Like, you just know that you don't have to, you're just not going to do that in front of them. And I feel like.
If you teach that, though, I think it's.
But I'm saying, I think you can teach it in a way where you're one of those unspokens where they just like, no, I'm not going to do it in front of you or in front of. Like, I think it's a good idea, but I don't think telling them that is the best way to enforce it.
I can see that. But my thing about, I don't want her to feel like she's getting one over on me by being sneaky. I want her to know that I know.
That you know that
when
I know
she's
that
she's in this cul-de-sac, and I want her
us,
to know.
Bro, that's us, right? We're like, they're never going to get anything over on us because I'm a badass.
Yeah.
I know, it's always us, right?
Yeah.
And that never goes away. And the thing with the cursing is I just want them to know, like, when my little boy, sometimes he wants to say it, I can tell, and he stops because he knows it's not allowed. That's when I feel like I won, or that's when it's feel like I did the right thing. He knows the word.
It's all about me.
Yeah, right. So it is, and we can't even avoid it.
Here.
I can't even finish a sentence without bringing it back.
Ass, you little shit. Hey, baby. You wanted to say fuck, and you didn't because of me.
And then you have one like McCartney who will just drop it and like not even give a shit.
And she's like, I won. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah.
I'm the captain now.
This is my house. My house, Kemosabe.
I'm on my third daycare, bitch.
So when's the third due?
Oh, any minute.
Oh, you ready to pop?
Yeah, I had a friend who has the same due date, and they had their kid 2 days ago. So it could
be right now.
We
had a phone call.
Yeah, it could be. That don't scare me, bro. You see what happens? I get scared.
Dude,
like,
that's the worst one to miss.
Like, 2 weeks, about 2 weeks leading up, and then we went after. We went over our due date, and I just sat there with my phone, like, looking at it every single second, because... God forbid you miss that one.
Can you imagine? You just turn that ringer off and you totally space.
Oh, God.
And then you space some more. Right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
And then
she dreams about
you into
that
space
shit.
Whenever she finally sees you.
You get about as much space as you want.
Yeah. The space on the couch in the basement.
Exactly.
Sing all the harmonies you want to because I'm closing
space.
The door.
All right. So I'm going to let you go in a minute, but you are a DC guy.
Yes.
That area. Yeah. DC sports.
So my history in the area is complicated. I grew up in D.C., Maryland. I'm a huge Caps fan and still am. I have a season ticket holder, love the Skins.
As I understand, it's your year for the Caps.
Well, now I'm a Rangers fan.
Oh, you
I claim
ship.
Rangers. Yeah, because I claim Rangers. I love the organization. I love the players. And but if the Caps go further, I'll root for them down the stretch. I love the team, but I'm definitely a Rangers fan. And yeah, I mean, I'm a pro football fan at this point. I basically just go from college to pros focus-wise, right? So I went to Ohio State,
okay.
So it was all college football. And I'm just starting to find more interest in the pros right now.
All right.
You know, so
Redskins are not exactly the best.
Redskins are not.
It's
just kind of leaves you hanging for the last 25 years.
Yep.
And I've kind of lost a little bit of love for that.
So who you looking at now for the NFL?
I can be bought. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know.
Have you ever heard of a team in Jacksonville? We're looking.
Well,
for...
I won't. I'm not a New York football fan, right? So I'm kind of like I'm not all the way Ravens. I'm trying to figure it out, man.
Yeah.
I'm a lost soul. I'm trying to.
The Ravens are a good organization to pick up because they're a good franchise.
Great
people.
But
you're not. They're not like. You know, it's not front running to jump on right now.
Yeah.
But you know that they're going to be back because they're just a well run organization.
They're a well run organization.
And you look dynamite in purple.
And I do. And they treated us real great. We went down there. We got to do like a halftime show. And they put it on, man. It was fun.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
So last question, because we get this a lot. How are you going to raise your kids sports wise? You going to let them choose? You going
right.
to instill the Rangers in them?
My kid is already all Rangers, but he also loves the Caps. That's the thing. Like I show love for DC sports.
So we had a question a couple weeks ago, whatever. It was like the guy was from Philly. No, the guy was from Illinois.
Yeah,
Chicago, and then his wife was from Philly. They're living in Philly, and he was like, "I want my kid to be a Cubs fan, especially right now. Things are good." But my reaction was like. He's going to want to be hanging out with his buddies watching his local team.
Yeah.
So if I were in your situation, I'd be like, just like the Caps.
Well,
it's tough because you want to watch
right.
the Rangers with your boy. You
see,
know what I mean?
That's the thing. And there's like, look, here, and it's a complicated situation because they were born in New York, right? So they're like,
oh,
they're
so in
New
that
Yorker.
Case, this is that is their local
that's
team.
Their
okay.
stuff. We've
okay.
lived here, you know,
so then Rangers
for
all
years,
the way.
Right? So they're all Rangers. And see, that's the thing. My son is like, I want to be a Giants fan, and my father-in-law is like, oh, hell no, you are not, you know, you're a
yeah,
Redskins fan, right?
Right?
As long as we're not into Philly teams, I think, like, if he's like...
That's it. You know what? That's perfect.
If you're an Eagles fan and you're my kid, we're going to have an issue, you know, I think.
That should be the Podfather's rule, because we get this question every week. What about this? What this fan, that fan, this family situation, this location?
Yeah.
Just not Philly fans.
Yeah.
You just can't root for Philly. That's the Podfather's rule.
Strong rule.
You grow up in D.C., I mean,
it's respectable
like,
rule.
They used to come to the Cap Center, and there'd be more fights in the stands than on the ice.
I believe that.
No, but I'm all hockey right now, man. I'm loving it.
Awesome.
Yep.
It does sound like the Caps are in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it's hard to catch those. That,
but,
I, mean,
but
I don't know shit about hockey, but they're skating well.
At the end of the day, it's D.C. sports,
yeah.
which is low-key under the radar, one of the worst situations out there.
I think it's a worse situation because of the letdowns.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that's what's going on down there. And after a while, I think you start naturally to wonder if there's more out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and
DC's different because it's perpetually mediocre, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like,
I mean,
like at least
day,
Philly, you're like, oh, we're going to draft the number one draft pick. You're not getting that.
There's just nothing.
John Wall and Bradley Beal.
There's just really not much to get excited about.
Yeah, back in the day, man. Back in the day, it was amazing. It was electric. I was at RFK when the Cowboys came in. I remember the stadium shaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this community. It was all there. Now I went to a game very recently, and it was not the same, man. It's not the same.
Oh, the good old days.
Yes, right. Look at me. I'm like,
yeah. No, we
get
all.
Off
that's
my
another
lawn.
Thing. We all become. I am definitely becoming that guy. I'm trying to hold out a little longer for my kids, so I'm not the crotchety old man
we're
just
not there
yet.
Yet.
But
you're not even close.
Well, good luck with the third. You crazy son of a bitch.
Yes, you'll
and
be
you
there,
can.
My
I was
friend.
Gonna say, and you can come. You know,
like I
you
said,
can come shit on me when I go down that road.
You got
like,
a lot
I told
of plans.
You so. Yeah,
and I'll be there to hold your
hand.
That
was such a great answer.
If
shut the fuck up for a second. Your plans are gonna go out the window.
And I'll be there if you decide to get the vasectomy.
Yes, yes.
I know good doctor.
It'll be one
Thank
path
you.
Or another.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.